What do you hope to achieve by bothering me? It's a question many people asked Socrates, and in the dialogue Alcibiades, it's a question he takes the time to answer. This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, Director of Distance Learning at Wyoming Catholic College, and your host for these After Dinner Scholar podcasts. Alcibiades yearns for a life in politics and is both an attractive and ambitious would-be leader of Athens. By presenting yourself, Socrates comments, you'll show them that you deserve to be honored more than Pericles or anyone else who ever was. Having shown that, you'll be the most influential man in the city. And if you're the greatest there, you'll be the greatest in the rest of Greece, and not only in Greece, but also among the foreigners who live on the same continent as we do. Alcibiades would appear to have a great future before him, but Socrates tells him, convinces him, quote, "You are wedded to stupidity, my good fellow, stupidity of the highest order. This is why you're rushing into politics before you've got a good education." Then he adds, "You are not alone in this sad state. You've got most of the city's politicians for company." Alcibiades doesn't understand himself. He doesn't understand others. He can't explain the difference between justice and injustice. And he has not considered that virtue is the way of a free man, while vice merely enslaves. Professor Kyle Washit introduced the Wyoming Catholic College freshman to philosophy and the value of studying philosophy with Socrates' conversations with Alcibiades. A philosophy course I took in college started out with reading Immanuel Kant, Grounding for the Metaphysics of Morals, if memory serves. Half the students dropped out of the class in the first week. So what gets assigned first matters, and Kant is always a bad choice. Why did you choose Plato's dialogue Alcibiades to begin your freshman philosophy class?
So Plato's dialogue Alcibiades is a great intro for philosophy for the students. Initially, scholars were of the opinion that Plato didn't write Alcibiades, mostly because it seemed way too simple for a Plato dialogue. But subsequently, people are inclined to think, no, it's probably written as an intro to philosophy students. And in that regard, it does a lot of really great things. It introduces us to Alcibiades, who is a likable young man who turns into a bit of a bad boy in Athens history, but he's instantly relatable for the students. He's full of confidence, he's handsome, he's strong, and he's got the world on a string. And Socrates' job in the dialogue is to convince him he should study philosophy. And he does it very well, and as such, it's a great intro to the philosophy course.
Socrates begins his questioning by assuming that Alcibiades' dreams of power and glory will all come true. He will advise all of Athens. And okay, says Socrates, in that case, then what will they be considering when you stand up to advise them, assuming you're right to do so? Where does the conversation go from there?
Alcibiades first tries to tell Socrates, well, I'll tell the Athenian people about what's important, and I'll give them advice on what they should do. And so Socrates, in classic Socrates fashion, will ask, well, will you give them advice on shoemaking? No, Socrates, of course not, right? Will you give them advice on shipbuilding? No, no. Okay, so what is it then, Alcibiades, that you were qualified to give people advice on? And Alcibiades comes to proposing, well, I'm going to give them advice about justice because I know what is just and unjust. And again, Alcibiades is appealing to something that the students readily identify with. Since they've been little kids, they've known that's not fair. So Socrates' question to Alcibiades is, well, how do you know it's not fair? Did you ever have a teacher? To which he says, no, I never had a teacher about what's fair or not. So how did you learn it? If you thought you always knew it, you never investigated it. No, no, Socrates, I never investigated it. Okay, so then how did you learn? And Alcibiades says, well, like I learned from people in general, like I learned Greek. To which Socrates then notes, but do people in general agree about what is fair or what is not fair? And what's great is that we're having this conversation, the students have the exact same reaction. They are going through the exact same motions as Socrates, and they get to the point where they realize the people around them radically disagree about what's fair and unfair. To To which point, all of a sudden, Alcibiades is left in utter perplexity. How could he have been so sure about justice and never spent any time actually figuring out what is just or unjust?
Mm-hmm. Alcibiades, it turns out, has trouble distinguishing between just and unjust, but also admirable and contemptible, good and bad, advantageous, disadvantageous. What is Socrates' prescription for such ignorance in one who would rule?
So the big thing that Socrates stresses to Alcibiades is that he has a very distinctive kind of ignorance. As he points out, Alcibiades, if I asked you how to cook dinner, would you give me an answer? Alcibiades says, no, of course not. My cooks cook dinner. I don't need to know how. So he says, you would never be confused about how to cook dinner. He said, no, because I know I don't know how to cook dinner. He said, so the reason you're confused about what's just and unjust or contemptible or admirable is because you think you know, and yet in fact you've never reflected on it and you don't know. And so, Socrates says, you are in fact in the worst form of stupidity, the most dangerous form of stupidity, because you act like you know but you don't. And so the secret for you, Alcibiades, to fix it is you have to start cultivating yourself. And you've got to do that ultimately through philosophical friendship, which is then what we focus on with the students in the second part. How do you go about cultivating philosophical friendship? And the answer for that is really neat. What Socrates says is, well, in the end, you want to focus on your soul. You don't want to focus so much on, you know, how well you're as a bodybuilder. You don't want to focus so much on how much money to make, but you want to focus on your soul. And the way you're going to do that is by finding someone else, and the two of you are going to stand before beautiful or true things and talk about them. And in the course of talking and reflecting on the beautiful and true things with another person, that is in fact going to be this process that initiates you into the process of philosophy that's going to get you to the knowledge you seek.
Mm-hmm. And that's the whole process of self-cultivation.
And that is the process of self-cultivation, which is in fact then what I tell the students they've signed up to do for the next 4 years.
Now, what do the students take away from the dialogue as their introduction to philosophy?
So I think they take away a couple of things. One, they have precisely the Alcibiades experience of doubting, how is it that I have these opinions and that I'm so certain about them, but where have I gotten my certitude from? So that realization of the need to enter into that examined life that Socrates is so desirous of. They also link that to a real desire for, you know, Alcibiades wants to make a difference. He wants to be a leader. And so they connect this desire for reflection with this desire to make a meaningful impact in the world around them. And lastly, I think it really gives them an excitement about what they're doing here at Wyoming Catholic College. They're going to spend the next 4 years in conversation with other people before the most beautiful, true things that have been thought and said, and stand before those things as a kind of mirror, the image that Socrates gives, and see themselves and come to learn themselves. And it really inspires them and makes them very excited for the study of philosophy, a very different reaction than, say, reading Kant for the first week.
Yeah, people got very unexcited about philosophy. And where do you take them after you study Alcibiades?
So after Alcibiades, then the question is, yeah, well, then where do we go from here? We read next Plato's Cratylus, where we talk about what the relationship is between words and truth. And from there, from that sort of initial dialogue resting between the relation of word and truth, we move into Aristotle's works on logic, which really continue with this, going up until how we finally get to certain truths through this process of philosophy.
I'm amazed at how many students by their junior or senior year are thinking to themselves, you know, I could get a PhD in philosophy. That would be pretty exciting.
Right, which if you ask them when they came in, very few of them would say that's on the high list. And again, I think they have this Alcibiades experience. This is not abstract knowledge that's worthless, but in fact, this is the knowledge about the most important things that answers the deepest questions they have.
Let me ask you about this. At one point, Socrates says, you have the stupidity of the highest degree. You're rushing into politics before you have an education. And then he adds, you are not alone in this sad state. You've got most of the city's politicians for company. Yeah. As someone who writes on politics with some regularity, I couldn't help be drawn to that. Do the students have any response to that?
Well, they readily identify with it, and in fact, they make the same excuse that Alcibiades does. Well, philosophy must not be important in politics, because clearly none of the politicians know philosophy, or know good philosophy, and so clearly that must not be what you need. To which then they reflect with some prompting, are we in a really great situation right now? And when they look around at the political climate, they think maybe Socrates is right. Maybe a little bit more study would significantly improve the climate we're in.
Yeah. Well, because we use words like justice and, you know, it's all over the place. And, well, what do you mean by that?
Well, in fact, that's the example I gave the students when we're talking about how everyone's radically committed to, I know what is just, but no one spent a lot of time reflecting on it. I said, take any issue you want, right? Whether it's statues of Confederates or building a wall on the southern border, everyone will yell at very high decibels that this, whatever position they have, is the just decision. And the other one is not just a disagreement, but fundamentally unjust. And yet, they are very likely in the position of Alcibiades. They are utterly confident they know what is justice, but they've never spent much time reflecting on exactly why they hold that as just or unjust.
And when do the students read the Republic?
They'll read that second semester freshman year. Okay. So this is a great preparation to finally let them wrestle with it at the end of their freshman year.
Right. Great. Well, thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Jim.
At the end of the dialogue, Socrates expresses little confidence in Alcibiades' growth in virtue. I should like to believe that you will persevere, he tells him. But I'm afraid, not because I distrust your nature, but because I know how powerful the city is. I'm afraid it might get the better of both me and you. Philosophy should be a path to the true, the good, and the beautiful. But as Socrates pointed out, it's an arduous path, requiring love for wisdom, great effort, sufficient time, and loving accountability. Ideally, we provide those to our students here at Wyoming Catholic College for 4 years. After that, they, like the rest of us, need to seek these things out in the fellowship and the communion of the church. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.